This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. We're running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you if someone is working a gig economy job, are they considered to be fully employed? Do let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at the results of the poll throughout the rest of the morning. But since we are turning our attention back to the local front today, according to Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, the government is finding it challenging to pay the civil servant's retirement expenditure each year. Now, the annual total rose to 23.9 billion ringgit in 2018 from 5.9 billion over in 2006.
And the Prime Minister also added that the previous administration increased the salaries of civil servants a few times at a relatively high percentage. So to handle this issue, the government is studying several new mechanisms, and they hope that it will be able to balance between the government's burden as well as civil servants not facing any losses after ending the service. I guess a pension is a dicey one because this involves a lot of legacy payments, right, to civil servants who have been in the service for a long time, for example, teachers and nurses and other people working for the government. These are promises that have been made to the government, and this would represent a liability that the government in the short term cannot get out of. This is very unlike EPF, because EPF is a defined contribution scheme where you fund your own future pensions, whereas a pension is something that's been promised by the government. And I'm not sure if the government would want to be too quick to remove some of these benefits, because these are very important public sector jobs, like teachers. They would be very important to nation building.
And for sure, I mean, for some government servants, other than the desire to serve the nation, one of the benefits or one of the reasons that was a pull factor into government service is the idea that you do have a pension when you retire. But clearly the government is looking at revamping the public pension scheme into an improved contractual one, which is something I think being discussed at a special public service reform committee meeting last October. Now, the question is, if the government can change or absorb this contract staff, if you move, let's say, from a permanent staff to a contract staff kind of system, would that actually work?
I find that very hard to work for say, for example, teachers. But if you have people in administrative duties within government offices, then perhaps the gig economy would be more suitable for them.
Yeah, I guess because it's also... excuse me, it's also what constitutes a civil servant, right? Because we have had conversations before where a lot of people believe that our civil service is bloated. QPAX says that this is not the case, but of course, QPAX is the Congress of Unions of Employees in the Public and Civil Services, so I can understand where they would be coming from. But there has been reports to say that it depends on how you view who constitutes the civil service, because here in Malaysia, we include people like teachers and nurses, for example, whereas in other countries, maybe they don't. Hence, that might be the reason why our numbers look so much more inflated than elsewhere.
But this is also on the back of the World Bank, right, coming up with a report that's saying that the performance of Malaysian civil service has actually declined since 2014. Mm-hmm. So it also gave rise to the concerns of the sustainability of the country's public wage sector bill. Because if you look at the OPEX of the government for 2019, we're talking about 222 billion ringgit, of which 36.8% or 88 billion ringgit actually goes towards government salaries. So that is quite a large
that's
bill.
A huge chunk.
Yeah, it's a huge bill. So in this report, World Bank also ranked Malaysia low in its indicators for accountability, impartiality, as well as transparency and openness of its public service. But I think it's important to note whether this survey has been redone recently, because maybe things have changed.
Yeah, particularly post GE14, right? So whether or not the situation there has changed. But, it's a bit difficult to say, because I've had some conversations with people from different industries, and you ask them about the landscape. And what I've heard mostly is that in a lot of cases, even though the top leadership has changed, the people running the offices on the ground are still the same. And they've been doing the same job for 20 years. And it actually can be... in that sense, they're not seeing that much of a difference because these people are still very entrenched in the old ways of doing things.
The other criticism is the way public servants are hired, is that it still remains very centralized. So any recruitment is done by the public services department versus the ministry that requires it. So I can imagine it's probably a very bureaucratic process and maybe you don't really get the right candidate for the job then because it's just a series of forms and somebody else decides for the ministry that this candidate should go here or there. And I'm not sure it's not how it's done in the private sector. So maybe the public sector could learn to be a bit like the private sector and take some of the efficiencies with it.
Indeed, but also talking a little bit about employment this morning, there has been some conversation about the gig economy, and that's been going on for quite a while. But apparently now our Prime Minister has also said the gig economy has been identified as a new source of economic growth, and it will be made part of the 12th Malaysia Plan. So he said the government is currently in the early stages of regulating the sector for the welfare of gig economy workers, because it has realised the implications of gig economic work as well as the need to safeguard worker rights.
And earlier this month, Youth and Sports Minister Syed Saddiq Abdul Rahman also said that a new law is needed to regulate the gig economy and provide better worker protection in the long run. Syed Saddiq, of course, famously or infamously also decided to weigh in on the Food Panda affair recently and asked him recently on a grill whether what kind of laws he would like to see to protect more workers. For example, would you institute a kind of minimum wage for gig economy workers, which would open another can of worms, because really gig economy is about you running your own business, as it were, selling your own services, right? It's not a full-time employment. It comes with some pros and cons of whether you want to be part of the gig economy or not. For example, advantage would be having more flexibility, and for that you have to give up some of the perks.
I mean, this discussion that we are having now in the government is not new. It's something that the Americans are facing, right? Because I think there's a bill in California in terms of
AB5.
Yeah, AB5. How do you deal with what is essentially, when you think about it, do you think that gig workers are then part-time, like contractors? And in a way, they are not, right? Because some of them actually treat the gig economy almost like a full-time job. And yet they have none of the benefits or protection required. And if we look at this whole overarching theme of shared prosperity, the gig economy is here to stay. It's not something temporary. And shouldn't it come under this shared prosperity plan and also this Malaysia plan, 12 Malaysia plan, which is supposed to run from 2021 to 2025? So I think it is something that the government should look at long and hard at, because we've had the occasional dispute, right, between the gig economy workers versus the companies. And in a way, the gig economy workers maybe feel that they're voiceless. There's no way, no one to turn to. And they're also, in a way, not unionized. Or have a collective voice.
Yeah, we don't generally have very strong unions here in Malaysia anyway. So it's unsurprising then that gig economy workers would also be facing the same problem. But I think I tend to agree with you, Julian, because when we're talking about the gig economy, the main tenet of the gig economy is supposed to be flexibility. And in order to achieve that sort of flexibility, you do have to acknowledge the fact that you will sacrifice certain full employment benefits. But the problem is with these people who maybe don't have any other recourse but to turn to the gig economy, and they do drive, for example, if they're in ride hailing for more than 8 hours a day, then they should have that financial safety net. The government should be looking into it. But implementing just a blanket minimum wage, for example, or even AB5, the discussion that's happening right now in the US, it does also impact those who still treat the gig economy as it was originally meant to be treated, as a supplement to their income rather than as the only source. Because that means that they now have stricter KPIs. They have to drive a certain number of hours every day, 40 hours a week. And Lyft and Uber have both come out to say that 90% of their drivers won't make this cut. So if so, how do you address these people?
Yeah, I think also it's going to be interesting to see what Nadiem Makarim, who's the founder of Gojek Indonesia, now being appointed as a minister in Jokowi's government, has to say about this, because he has vast experience in running Gojek, which is very much entrenched in the gig economy over there in Indonesia, and is responsible for creating a lot of jobs in Indonesia. So perhaps coming from the other side and now getting into the realm of policy, he may give out some pretty creative ideas about how to handle this, including the rights of gig workers.
Yeah, but this has to be a delicate balance, right? Mm-hmm. Because the reality is that our youth and unemployment in Malaysia is really, really high. We're talking about above 10%. So for a lot of youth, the gig economy is their only option. And we need to offer them some protection because they have no other means of earning any other income then.
Indeed, and this is going to be an ongoing discussion. Do let us know what you think on the poll that we're running. Once again, we've had about 60 votes so far. So far, 40% of the respondents have said that if someone's working a gig economy job, they're not considered to be fully employed. 20% have said yes, 30% said it's complicated. Let us know what you think. Now, a couple of messages for you, and then the 7:30 news at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.